It's green for go. They're racing.
He says go.
He says ta-da.
And Tiger Tara roars away from them on the home turn.
Here comes another big boil over.
Equine Athleticism at its best.
The King is in the castle once more.
This is in one race. The rest are almost in another post.
She is a star with a capital S.
It's going to be a triple treat. A miracle three-peat.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed history here at Menangle. What about that?
It's getting right up on the sprint lane and it's going to bolt in.
Hello, welcome to episode number 85 of the Sprint Lane podcast for Harness Racing New South Wales. This is the Sunday session. My name's Greg Hayes and it is great to have your company this week. So, what is this podcast all about? Well, I look back at Harness Racing in New South Wales over the past week, catch up with a couple of the leading players, and I also review the main meeting of the week and look at every race on the card to see if I can find a winner or two going forward. Obviously a big weekend in harness racing with the running of the Nullarbor in Perth on Friday. I'm a huge fan of half mile track racing. Gloucester Park does have an atmosphere about it. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go to Harold Park. It just had an atmosphere. Even when the track was empty, Gloucester Park is something special too. The old tote building is there. It really is a special place. And I used to love working from the track during my time with Sky Racing. I've had many good nights in Perth. Harness racing, a little bit more mainstream over there, and they do a good job of getting people to their big nights. The race itself, the Nullarbor, was exciting. Catch a Wave, he's had his issues, but he wins another big one, driven a treat by Kate Gath after a brutal early speed that brought the New South Wales runners undone, especially Spirit of St. Louis. What about the different driving rules in WA? It's not the first time we've seen it, but Gary Hall Jr. gave Cam Hart the big heave-ho, forcing Hot and Treacherous three wide from the bell. All legal and in the rule book over there, and it's not the first time a leading Eastern driver has had that happen to them in the West. Worked out perfectly for Kate Gath, though, because she got some cover with Catch a Wave from that point. Catch a Wave, too good. Laverage Joe in fourth was outstanding. So, too, was Hot and Treacherous. But Laverage Joe got caught wide early, tried to get in, couldn't, dragged back to last, and came again at the end. Huge performance, and Hot and Treacherous forced three wide from the bell and kept giving and put its head in front on the turn. Then Saturday night, the Nutrien finals night at Melton. Sales racing can be dominated by short price favourites, and we saw that a little bit last night. Eight finals, six odds on favourites. The other two were both at $2.30. New South Wales had some success. We spoke with Dennis Day on the podcast last week, and Rainbow Jester made it 3 from 3 in a dominating display. Did everything right on Saturday night, something his rivals didn't, and he was able to prove too strong. He and three-year-old trotting filly winner Maori's Mac go back to the Maori's Idol family, and I put a call in to my good mate Paul Langham, who calls the trials at Club Menangle. He's got the best catalogue of races from the past you'd ever want to see. I wanted to see if Paul could find the Hamilton Cup won by Maori's Idol when he was that far in front they rang the bell twice. Actually, it might be a new segment I might introduce on the podcast. We might look back into history each week and pull a great race out of the archives. I'll get Paul to find me a race every week from great harness racing events from the past. The other New South Wales success came in the three-year-old fillies final at Melton, and that was the pacing division, of course. Luxa Turner bouncing back into the winners list. Look, she destroyed a pretty weak field, but it was good to see her win like she did. The jury has been out on her this season. One win first up where she fell in and then a couple of below par efforts. Is she back or was last night wallpapering over the cracks? We'll find out in the New South Wales Oaks in a fortnight. Of course, has to go through the heats. At Club Menangle on Saturday night, the meeting was dominated by Seaton Grimer, who drove three winners. He trained two of them. One was for Troy Williams. Hard not to jump on the Grimer bandwagon. He just keeps winning races and doing it the same way. He flies off the arm. He gets a little bit of a breather. Then he runs them from the 600-metre mark. It's making some races at Menangle look very American. But when they run hard from start to finish, it makes sense for all rival drivers to find the pegs as quickly as possible. So I'll catch up with Seaton on the podcast today. And also Jack Traynor. He was on the podcast a fortnight ago. He was talking about Artie's Express. We mentioned her at the end of the interview there a fortnight ago and how she was being set for the Sibelia Stakes. Well, didn't she run one hell of a race outside the leader on Saturday night? Broke 149 and did all the work. So I'll catch up with Jack again today. We'll find out what he thought of her win and if he's looking forward to the clash with Ladies in Red in a fortnight. So Jack on in just a moment to have a chat. I'll have the Menangle Express again this week. I'll try and find a winner or two going forward. Mr. T, he's going to have a couple of tips for me this week. Luckily, he forgot last week because his two tips were terrible. But mine won. Plus, I'll update the fantasy harness racing with just over a month to go in that. A lot to get through. Let's get into it. First up, Jack Trainer.
They were followed by I'll Have a Bubbles, and the next one, Brave You Kelly, who's had a great run. Manhattan's lost her back and then came further back as they near the turn. It's Ebony and Ivory are not to be denied to the outside. Soho Historia still kicking. 27-3 the quarter. Arnie's Express comes up on the outside to almost join it. Brave You Kelly, I'll Have a Bubbles is getting up on the inside and further back then getting out late as Brave You Kelly, but going to the lead, Arnie's Express. I'll Have a Bubbles up on the inside is trying hard, but Arnie's Express is in front and will beat I'll Have a Bubbles. Third home in the race, Promised Land, a big run. Stormed home. Manhattan got going again after dropping the bit on the side and got fourth.
Well, what a performance last night by Arnie's Express. Taking out the Sibelius Stakes and booking herself a spot in the QE2 Cup. Jack Trainer is the man that puts the polish on Arnie's Express. He's joining me to have a chat. Congratulations, Jack. Well done.
Yeah, thanks very much, Greg.
Pretty impressive performance by the mare.
Yeah, she went great, didn't she? It was a relieving win, obviously. Like we said before, she'd come over and with a great record and a bit of hype around her. And yeah, for her just to be able to show off how really good she is. And it was satisfying to me knowing that she's on the right track and no doubt for everyone that's been a part of her journey to see that she's going well.
Gee, she's a fair lump.
Yeah, she is. She is a big mare. She's very tall and leggy, and but she's got a real long body on her as well, so... Yeah, probably if you had to describe her, she just sort of looked like the perfect racehorse, really.
We spoke with you a fortnight ago on the show, and you said that you were taking her to the trials, you're getting her ready for this series, and you just weren't happy with how she trialled, so you were going to take her back to the trials and then get her ready for the Sibelius. So obviously, everything went right for you at the trials before you stepped out last night.
Yeah, it did. Obviously, that second trial was obviously the teller of whether or not we started last night in the Sibelius Stakes, and just made a couple of adjustments to her hobbles and her bridle, just you know, a couple of things that I picked up on in the first trial that I wasn't 100% happy with. And yeah, then obviously I was lucky enough I got to touch base with Tim Williams in New Zealand, who done most of her driving over there, and we butted heads a little bit, and sort of what he said to me is what I was thinking. So we made a couple of changes, and obviously, it worked wonders. In that last trial of hers, she sort of put the writing on the wall, but with a 25-2 last quarter, that everything was good and she was ready to go to the races. So, fingers crossed we've got everything right moving forward.
She looks like she's just the perfect horse because she's got that really high speed when you need it, but she's super tough as well, as she showed last night, breaking the 149 sitting parked.
Yeah, she does. She's she's just got just a massive amount of ability. She is very high speed. Obviously, she doesn't have to be driven up hard like she was last night. But, yeah, once she's out the gate and she's rolling, she's just got that high cruising speed. And, yeah, she's obviously probably suited to Menangle where they can just roll along. And it's going to be a big help for her moving forward racing here.
So what about last night in the run? Were you pretty confident throughout?
I was. She sort of felt like the winner the whole way. She gets up and travels well. But, obviously... as a trainer, you always have that in the back of your mind. You know, are they ready and can she handle this? And as we were rolling off good sectionals, it, you know, your heart's always sort of in your mouth. Is she ready to do this? But the way that she felt was she never really felt like she was going to lose. And even when she sort of went past Soho Historia, she just sort of switched off a little bit and was still sort of, you know, pricking the ears and toying on the line. So, yeah, give me a lot of confidence with them moving forward.
And you seemed to just, you know, when you went past Soho Historia, you just sort of roared at her and she seemed to drop into another gear.
Yeah, that's a bit what she's like. It's sort of like she's got gears when you're driving her. And yeah, obviously she'd already had a tough trip, so there was no point in beating on her. But yeah, she's just, like I said, she's just a great racehorse and a lovely mare. And I know that she's doing her best out there, and luckily last night her best was good enough.
So is she ready for the big clash with Ladies in Red?
We'll find out in 2 weeks' time, Hazy. But, you know, she's definitely in the right form, and you know, she's scary to say, but that race should only make her, you know, tighten her up better and improve her fitness. So, yeah, I can't deny it. I've got massive respect for Ladies in Red, and it's probably going to come down to draw dependence. But it's going to be a great race, and hopefully it turns into a real good clash between the two of them.
If you drew well, have you got the gate speed to really run out of the gate and hold the front if you want to?
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she's obviously in New Zealand. She's always sort of just worked forward, whether that's because they've been racing over distance or, the front's normally been there for her. But last night she just felt like she could have come out real quick if she wanted to. So she's a high speed mare as it is, and yeah, I've got no doubt that if we do have to push the button early, she can get up and go.
So Manhattan finished fourth last night in the Sibelia. Well, that'll be good enough to get her into the QE2 as well.
Yeah, that gets her in. It's obviously top four this year, and there's one wild card left, so she managed to get in. I've just watched replay last night. Her run was actually quite good. She just dropped off around the bend as she did of her first start over here, and then her best work was probably her last 50 or 100 metres, which was a good sign considering that was a good quarter, but just need to work out why she's dropping off around the bend a bit. There's no real reason that I can think of, so we'll spend 2 weeks trying to work that out. As we know, you can't afford to be losing ground at a vital part of a race like that in these big races. So she's going good enough, and yeah, obviously it's good to get another one in.
It was interesting. I was doing the videos this morning, and I thought, gee, she's gone. But she wasn't gone. She was just getting into her work up the straight.
Yeah, that's right. I've never driven her in a race, obviously, in her three starts over here, so I just don't know what's going on there. It's a bit of a head scratcher, really, but I'll just do a bit of study and might reach back to Bob Button, New Zealand Leagues trainer, and see if he can throw some ideas my way. Because, like I said, it's not an ideal trait to have. And it's not that she's running out of puff. It's something that's obviously just going on. And once she straightens up, she's winding up and making good ground again.
Brave You Kelly, what did you make of her run off the video last night?
Really disappointing. Probably be her most disappointing run since I've had her, to be honest, Hazy. And I don't know what's going on there either, to be honest. Her work's been good. We thought we'd roll forward, anticipating that Artie's Express probably would be parked last night. And out of all the runs since I've had her, I'd say that's probably been her most disappointing. So just going to pull a blood on her on Monday and see if there's something that I'm missing. And trainer's nightmare. You've got 1 week to try and work out what's going wrong with her. Obviously, she's going to have to go around again this week to try and get her spot. And but she needs to go a lot better than what she did last night. Obviously to be a winning chance or a live chance in the main final. So I'll spend this week trying to get her right, and hopefully she improves on Saturday.
You also had Arden's Delight and My Moonlight Dream go around in the second tier of the mares races. What did you make of My Moonlight Dream, the one that you drove?
No, she was disappointing too, Hazy. I really liked her run first up last week, and she had to do quite a bit of work to find the front last night. But in saying that, she sort of dropped the bit and was gone a long way from home. So she'll be another one I'll take a blood from and just see if there's something going on, a little virus or something that's not quite right, because I'm sure she's a better mare than what she showed last night.
Mate, has the racing changed at Menangle in the last few years? They just seem to, the 150s, it's just the norm now. They charge you out of the gate, they back off a little bit in the second quarter, but then they just run the third and fourth quarter. They're just running such fast times now, even for the lower class races.
Yeah, it is a bit like that at the moment. I don't know if the racing's changed or just the drivers have changed. We might all just be a bit wilder these days, I think. But it's great. It is great racing at the moment. And, it's a lot. It's obviously, the track is built off a track like the Meadowlands. And maybe just, with the younger lot of drivers now, that the horses are able to do it. And, you'd be surprised that some horses can just freewheel in front, and it creates great racing, so it's good to be a part of.
So Artie's Express, Manhattan, they both just now, they go straight into the QE2. We won't, they'll just have an easy fortnight?
Yeah, that's obviously the plan there. That's why it was great to be able to get them in on that first occasion, and especially, it gives you the insurance for someone like Brave You Kelly that wasn't right and hasn't made it yet, and for the other two that have sort of, especially Artie, that's had a hard run, it just gives you that two-week gap between now and the final, so they don't need much now. They're fit and ready to go. It's just a matter of making sure that they're right come forth, mate.
And, mate, question without notice. Royal Dan the Trotter, has that turned up at your place?
It did for about 30 seconds, and then the ex-trainer took it back. So I can't blame him. He's a lovely trotter. And I think Cam's just been ticking him over for Jace while he's been in Perth. So, yeah, for a split second there, I thought I'd hit the goal, but I had to hand it back over.
he does look a pretty special trotter. He ran the arms off the clock last week.
Yeah, he did. And he felt like he could have gone another 400 metres at the same speed. He just feels like he's got no bottom and he's only lightly raced. So he's going to be suited to the Bigman Angle track as well. And I'm not sure, but last I spoke to Jason when I was handing about the head still, I think he was going to target the Goulburn Cup. So you might see him racing again next Sunday.
Oh, that's well, he took him down to Canberra for his first run and he won their feature race on their big Cups program, so he doesn't mind chasing the big races. Jace, Jack, all the best of luck in a fortnight in that QE2 Cup. This mare looks pretty special, Artie's Express, and we'll be cheering her on. Good luck.
Awesome. Thanks very much, Hazy.
Metres left to run. Don Liu, 27 to the split, breaks the arms off the clock as he goes for home. He's raced 8 metres in front. In second, Posse at the moment, Arden's Ace, Tuppence, and now Vinny come to the outside. What's he got left in the tank? He shakes it up. 150 left to go. Don Liu's the leader. Arden's Ace is very dour and staying on as well as Tuppence. Late, the inside is pitch perfect, but Don Liu will make it four straight, and Don Liu, four on the bounce, goes home to beat Arden's Ace, Tuppence. They were 1-2-3 all the way.
Hard enough to go to the races and win one, but Seaton Grimer last night won three, and he's joining me to have a chat. Congratulations, Seaton. Good night at the office.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Mate, no problems at all. You must be happy with that night. Three winners, two for yourself and one for Troy. Good night for you.
Yeah, I was pretty confident going into the night. I knew Super Duper Dude probably, yeah, was going to meet one better in Blazing Homes. But yeah, Don Liu, he's been flying at the minute, so I was pretty confident in his chances. And last Tango in Heaven, he found a suitable race. And Pioneer Courage, he's actually been racing pretty well, just bad draws and tough races, but no, it all worked out for him as well.
So Don Liu has now won four on the bounce, and he won going 155 over the longer trip, but then since then has gone 150.3, 149.9, 149.7. You can basically set your clock for him. He's just breaking 150 every week.
Yeah, exactly. He surprised me a little bit. When I first got him, I thought he'd do a nice job. He's probably, yeah, exceeded my expectations quite a fair bit. And yeah, I'm probably a bit biased in saying this, but I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. Like you just said, his times are getting faster and faster. And yeah, last night was pretty cold and there was a pretty bad headwind down the back straight, and yeah, he still managed to go 49.7. So no, I'm pretty excited to see what he can do. He's still in the 95 grade, but he's raising pretty quick. So no, I'm keen to see what he can do over the next few weeks, that's for sure.
So are you looking at anything in particular with him? Will you consider a trip to Queensland during the Winter Carnival? What are the plans?
For now, we're probably just going to head to Goulburn for the Carnival of Cups. Over the 2700, his first start win over 2300, sitting parked in 55. I thought that was pretty good. They still got home in 26, and yeah, he held them off quite strong. So I think, yeah, that's our first plan of attack, is head to Goulburn. See how he measures up against them good ones. I've heard Max Delight will be there, Narano will be there. So there'll be a few nice horses there. It's probably a hard race for him to win, but yeah, I'm not going to rule him out. So yeah, go to Goulburn then, and then yeah, probably a trip up to Queensland for the carnival up there.
Last Tango in Heaven, you mentioned it. It's a horse that's only had a couple of runs for the stable. First up, finished seventh as an odds-on favourite, got caught up outside the leader. But then last night, you're able to work forward, and again, 150.6, good win.
Yeah, first up, just didn't work out the way I sort of wanted it to. I didn't drive him, Robbie Morris drove him, and just sort of, I thought if he found the front that night, he'd probably be very hard to beat. But yeah, things just didn't work out the way I wanted them to. And yeah, he sort of got caught racing in the proof, which he's got his go. Last night, I think he drew four. And yeah, it was a suitable race for him. He found the front pretty comfortably. And then it was his race to lose. And he fought him off well down the straight. I think he got home in high 60s, 26. No, I was pretty happy with his performance.
Mick Boots, is this the first horse you've had for him?
No, I had Firefox for him first.
Yep.
He's out with the quarter crack at the minute. He's probably due to come back in probably a week or two. And then, yeah, he had a bit of success with him. So then yeah, Mick elected to send Last Tango and Heaven across.
Well, it was a good performance. What are the plans? You just race him through the grades at what? He's a 91 or something at the moment?
Yeah, I think he's a 91, so he's still just in the tip of that 95 grade. Probably going to miss a week or two with him. Just a bit of a bad steering horse, so I want to just try get him going a bit straighter because I think he probably can go a bit better as well. So, no, probably, yeah, miss a few weeks with him, change a bit of gear, get some joints injected, and then, yeah, just back to normal Saturday races with him.
Super duper dude. He's still only he's only lightly assessed at the moment. You just keep going back to Menangle on a Saturday night, push him through the grades.
Yeah, he's only a high 62 maybe. So no, he's yeah, probably surprised me a bit when he came over from New Zealand. I think he'd come here as a 56 and obviously a nominee in the upper 80s. So everyone probably thought I was a bit stupid. But he's stepping up every week. He probably just met one better last night, Blazingham. Blazingham can do a few things wrong, but yeah, when he puts it all together, he's a class animal. So, no, I was not disappointed to run second to him, that's for sure.
And you mentioned Colonia Courage, that one for Troy Williams. Came off a wide draw, was able to find the top, and I guess the key to that win was the fact you got away with the 31-1 second quarter.
Yeah, he's actually been going pretty good that horse. I won on him first up at Newcastle in 55 for the 2000 trip, and he sort of surprised me a bit that day. And he's actually one that's been doing things wrong lately, but his last start before last night was pretty good behind Super Duper Dude over 2300. They got home in 26-26, and yeah, he burnt off the arm and stuck on for third. So, no, I thought if he could find the front fast night, he'd be very hard to catch. And yeah, like you said, that 31-1 second quarter, that yeah, sort of just helped him fill his lungs up a bit, and then yeah, he was able to dash up straight.
Mate, you also picked up a drive for Clayton Tonkin, which is a feather in your cap, driving Soho Historia in the Sibelius Stakes. So you're starting to get noticed by the bigger stables, the bigger interstate stables as well. That's got to be something for you to be happy about.
Yeah, I was pretty privileged and honoured to drive her. She's been a lovely mare since she went to Emma and Clayton. And yeah, sort of the connection I got to drive was through Jamie and Aaron. I train horses for them, and they happen to own her. So, yeah, I was pretty privileged to get that drive. First up, 148.9. Probably just took her toll on her late. But now she battled away up the straight really well, and, yeah, she tried a little harder.
Mate, you've got an ability to get them off the gate. Doesn't matter whether they're one of yours or one of an outside stable. You really get them off the gate hard. And it seems that you've got this, you know, you've got this plan. You'll run hard early. You'll find the front. You'll back off in the second quarter, and then you get going again in the third. Is it basically the way you're doing it?
It's sort of. When I was first getting into horses, I was always watching Todd McCarthy, Grimmo, Jason Grimson, and Jack Traynor, even Cam Hart around Menangle. Just sort of get to the front and run, and yeah, make it hard to catch them. It all depends on the horse, I guess. Most of my horses, I train them to run quick miles, so I most of the time just cut them loose. But horses like Polony Courage, he's probably not as strong as the rest of them. Getting that 31 second quarter can really help. And sometimes even watching a driver like Luke McCarthy, who gets to the front, he'll go a 31 second quarter, even a 29 third quarter, and then he dashes up the straight in 25, and yeah, no one can get next to him. So it all just depends on the horse. I watch a lot of American racing around the Meadowlands and that. They're always running sub 49s and sub 48. So no, I'm sort of wouldn't say influenced as such. I love carving out them big miles.
So is that something you love your American racing and it? The way you drive, very American style. Is it something that you'd like to do in the future? Go over there?
Oh, 100%. Probably not in the near future. I've just started my training career here, and my driving sort of just started kicking off again. I'd say in the next 10 to 15 years. It's something, even just for a quick holiday, I'd love to duck over there and have a few drives. Learn how they do things over there and, try and bring it back and influence it into my training and driving.
We're recording this on Sunday morning, so you're obviously off to Goulburn today. It's pretty busy time. What are you expecting this afternoon?
Pretty confident in my chances tonight. Watch the Great One is a 240 favourite, I think. On ability and track work, he should just about win. Just for some reason, when he gets to the races, he forgets what it's all about and forgets how to pace. And, yeah, he's a bad steer and thing. If he puts it all together, I think, yeah, he should run a real bold race. And it's mine on the line. He's ultra consistent. He runs, I think, 4 or 5 seconds in a row, always beat the nose. He's won his last two for me. One was at Bathurst, and Cam drove him, and yeah, he ran a real nice race over the long trip there. And then I won on him on Tuesday at Menangle in 52. I think if he finds the front tonight, I think yeah, he should run a bold race as well. And Bully Born, I was quite disappointed with him last week. On Wednesday, he found a real suitable race, led, and sort of just plateaued up the straight. I gave him a few days off and, gave him an easy week. I think if he's back to his best, he should run a nice race as well.
Mate, you mentioned Firefox during the interview as well. Where you said he's not far away from coming back?
Yeah, I had him nommed for a race. I actually thought he'd go really good in it. It was over 23. There was a few nice ones in it, but, yeah, he's working super and he just pulled up a bit lame after his last hobble. And, yeah, I got the vet to come out, put the horse testers all over him and, yeah, had just an inside quarter crack. We looked at it and, yeah, 2 days later it broke out and he was quite sore. So, no, he's been out in the paddock maybe 2 or 3 weeks now and it's actually grown out pretty quick. So, no, he's probably have 1 or 2 more weeks to make sure he's well and truly over it and then he's, yeah, ready to come back in.
Any races picked out for him? Is he a Queensland carnival horse?
I'd like to think so. I'll probably just bring him back slow, make sure he stays down and probably give him 1 or 2 runs at an angle first, just make sure he's rock hard fitness. And if he comes back as good as he went out, then, you know, Queensland's definitely on the card.
All right, mate. Well, congratulations with the night last night. 3 winners, 2 for your own stable. Your stable's on fire. Good luck at Goulburn, and we'll talk again soon.
So, thanks for having me on, Greg.
You'll have to excuse the throat today. Came down with COVID during the week, so throat is a little bit rough. But let's get through this Menangle Express. Race 1 was over the mile, and the favourite was Super Duper Dude at $2.30. There was plenty of speed early from Ali Birdo, Blazing Home, and Super Duper Dude. In the end, they went into Indian File with Super Duper Dude leading. Blazing Home, Ali Birdo, Our Uncle Jim, Hands On, You Betcha Tiger Pie, Montalbano and Talent Agent. 25.9 first quarter, so they were humming, but once they found their positions, the speed backed off. 31.4 through the second, Montalbano came off the inside, got cover from Our Uncle Jim with Talent Agent third over. 28.8 to the turn, Super Duper Dude was at full tilt, Montalbano tipped out of the 1-1. Will Rickson had to be patient to wait for Our Uncle Jim to fully drop away before coming to the outside of the favourite with Blazing Home, but once he got to the outside, he looked a winner. Super Duper Dude didn't give in. Ali Birdo is going to win one of these very soon too. 26-3 final quarter, 152-4 overall. Everything back in the field had its chance. Good drive by Will Rickson, patient. Race 2, the favourite was Don Lou at $2.10. The speed was from out wide on the track with Arden's Ace crossing and then handing straight over to Don Lou, who was in front by the time they got to the judge. I get the feeling the Achilles heel with Don Lou is his lack of blinding speed. It's only going to take someone to park him to bring him unstuck, but when he's running sub-150 every week, it's going to take a very brave driver to do that. They went into Indian File. They didn't change until they got to the turn. So it was Don Lou, Arden's Ace, Tuppence, Alvinny, Pitch Perfect, Saginaw, Major Perry, and Pars Guarantee. Quarters were 27-2, 28-6, 27-2 to the turn. Alvinny popped off the pegs on the bend, and so did Saginaw, but the leader was off and gone. He ran a final quarter of 26-7 for a 149.7 mile, but they looked to be closing in on him up the straight, but he held on to win by 4.5 metres. The Grimer juggernaut continues the roll. Arden's Ace was so brave. Love him. Tries his guts out every week. Tuppence was good again. Binskin's got him going well. pitch perfect, never left the pegs. Wasn't too bad late either. Tell you what, Bailey McDonough's driving extremely well at the moment. Race number three, the favourite was Last Tango in Heaven. The speed early was from Wave the Bill, Total Diva, and Last Tango in Heaven. And it was Last Tango in Heaven that worked the front from Total Diva and Wave the Bill. Then Lock Eel, Surface, Chevron Art, Double Encounter, Sahara Sirocco, Boom, and Simply Sam. 26-7 for the first quarter, and Simply Sam got moving from the tail of the field, which forced Double Encounter to come off the inside. So the running line was Double Encounter, Simply Sam, and Boom. 29 for the second quarter, then approaching the turn, Wave the Bill galloped three pegs. Check Double Encounter, who went sideways. Check Simply Sam. Lock Eel was forced to go inside the peg, so it left the first two way out in front. 28 seconds for the third quarter, 26-9 up the straight, 150.6 overall. Won by 6 metres, Last Tango in Heaven. Total Diva was second. Boom hit the line really well for third. I like the run of Simply Sam after he got knocked off its feet on the turn. There will be some improvement in him. Chevron Art didn't have much luck at the top of the straight, and once it balanced up, it seemed to finish okay. So would give Chevron Art a forgive. Race number four, the Waratah final. Favourite was Ultra Bliss at $3.90. It fired off the gate, was able to cross Marvellous Mac. So on the pegs, it was Ultra Bliss, Marvellous Mac, Our Princess Kennedy, Nifty Ronald and Potter. The running line was Thomas Royal, Night to Remember, Letty's Reason. He's on the buzzer, Rouge Bling. Fast first quarter for this grade, 26 seconds. And then He's on the buzzer, took off at the 1,000, three deep and worked forward to the chair. Got outside the leader, 700 from home. 31-1 second quarter, Thomas Royal was gone at the cages, forced Knight to Remember to go three wide, Letty's Reason jumped on its back. Nifty Ronald was gone soon after, so there were a couple of horses in reverse early. Potter made good ground through the centre, 28-6 third quarter, they turned, Ultra Bliss left the inside, gave Marvellous Mac a shot, Knight to Remember looked likely out wide, but then Letty's Reason let down even wider on the track. Exploded home to win. Marvellous Mac, brave on the inside after being part of that early speed battle. Potter finished fifth but had a lot of traffic issues in the straight. Nathan Turnbull saved as much ground as he could. 27-6 final quarter, 153-3 overall. Well done to Wayne White and Justin Reynolds. Race number five, the fave was My Moonlight Dream at $2.60. A few drivers wanted to get forward in this one. My Cracklin' Rosie led before handing over to My Moonlight Dream, and Arden's Delight was caught out off the track, progressed forward to find the lead, but it did take 700 metres to get there, so the speed was hot. 26-2 followed by 28-4, 54-6. Simply too fast. They settled down like this in Indian file. Arden's Delight, My Moonlight Dream, My Cracklin' Rosie, Rock of Joy, Dying Art, Heavenly Sign, Carrera Sunset, Kendi's Butterfly, and Girl from Rosedale. Dying Art came away from the inside as Carrera Sunset, Kendi's Butterfly, and Girl from Rosedale moved off the pegs as well. Rock of Joy got into the running line, effectively into the 1-1. 29-3 for the third quarter. They all started to fan on the turn. Inside to outside, it was Arden's Delight who left the inside. Dying Art, Rock of Joy, Carrera Sunset, and Girl from Rosedale. 26-9 up the straight for a 150.8 performance. Girl from Rosedale exploded wide on the track, put them away. Great speed, great turn of foot. Carrera Sunset ran second for Grimson, Formosa. For Grimson and Formosa. Dying Art finished in third, fought hard in the straight. Some unlucky runners in this one. Kendi's Butterfly, Heavenly Sign had to be dragged sideways to look for clear air. Finished second and third last, but their respective runs were better than that. My Moonlight Dream looked to have every chance in the straight, but plain and simply did too much early. Race 6, the Sibelius Stakes. Favourite was Artie's Express at $2.70. Soho Historia charged off the gate to lead comfortably. I'll Have a Bubbles sat on its back, then it's Ebony of an Ivory and Promised Land. Off the pegs, it was Artie's Express, Braveview Kelly, Manhattan, not to be denied, and I'm Prezi Bell. 26-6 and 28-4, so 55-2 first half was solid enough, and they quickened up through the third quarter. Manhattan looked to be struggling at the cages to hold its spot, and that forced Not to be Denied to come three wide. 27-3 third quarter, Soho Historia wobbled off the pegs as they turned. Artie's Express was in second gear. I'll Have a Bubbles got a run up the inside. Promised Land had worked off the inside and was trying to ease to the outside. Manhattan had found its second wind and was working home again okay out wide. Trainer roared at Artie's Express. Didn't hit her, just roared at her, and she dropped into another gear up the straight. 26-6 for a 148.9 mile in the chair. Couldn't have been more impressive. Jack Trainer has a really nice one on his hands. Promised Land finished third. Great drive by McDonough. Manhattan somehow ran fourth. It looked dead set gone at the cages. Braveview Kelly had her chance. It's Ebony and Ivory got squeezed up late. Not to be denied was plain after being forced wide when Manhattan looked to stall. Winner was big, huge. Race 7, the trot. Constantinople, favourite at $1.70. Over the longer trip, there was speed from Funky Monkey and Victory Hill. Surprisingly, Victory Hill made enough room to drop in on the pegs behind Funky Monkey, so Constantinople then worked forward and found the front. So they went into single file, Constantinople, Funky Monkey, Victory Hill, Ravon Hall, Sunny G, Affair to Cover, Chief Running Cloud, Have No Fear, Powder Keg and Jungle Eyes. Powder Keg wasn't on its best behaviour at the start and was slowly away. Lead time was 50.8, quick enough. And then the first quarter was 31-2. Jungle Eyes came away from the markers at the 1,000. Powder Keg and Have No Fear tried to get into the running line as well. As Jungle Eyes got up outside Victory Hill, it pushed out off the pegs and forced Jungle Eyes three wide. It was able to ease and drop back into second over, Jungle Eyes. 31-6, 29-1 through the middle, made it a sprint home. 27-3 up the straight. Constantinople rolled slightly off the pegs and gave Funky Monkey a crack. Victory Hill was trying hard outside the leader, but Constantinople never really in any danger. If he trotted throughout, he was going to win, and he did. 158.9 for the mile. Sunny G finished fourth, hit the line okay. Had to wait to get around Ravon Hall at the top of the straight. Sunny G's going really well. It can win a weaker race soon. Race 8. Favourite was Ideal in Dreams at $3.80. Colonia Courage fired off the wide draw, was able to find the front off stablemate Little Bliss. But as they ran to the first corner, Little Bliss galloped, went in behind the leader, which caused a few traffic issues for those back in the field. 26-4 for the first quarter. They settled down like this. Colonia Courage in front. Titian Raider second. Nicholas Cage, Magic Moment, Shades of Heaven. Running line was Dark Terror, Sheffield Sparky, Ideal in Dreams, and Have You Checked In. Big lungful of air for the leader through the second quarter, 31-1. Colonia Courage got going at the cages. Sheffield Sparky looked to be struggling to hold its spot. 27-8 third quarter. Titian Raider galloped as they turned for home. The three-legged pacer, Ideal in Dreams, swung into the clear. Had to go earlier than it wanted after Sheffield Sparky looked to be stalling. Have You Checked In worked home strongly, but Colonia Courage held them off in the straight. 26-7 final quarter for a 152-mile overall. Have You Checked In got second right on the line in front of Ideal in Dreams and Nicholas Cage back on the inside. Sheffield Sparky fought on in the straight after looking in some pain at the cages. Best win of the night, Artie's Express. Couldn't have been more impressive. Bring on that clash with Ladies in Red in a fortnight. Letty's Reason and Girl from Rosedale both get mentions here as well. Best beaten effort, Marvellous Mac. I know it sat behind the leader, but it was part of that 26-second first quarter. Got to split up the inside. Surely it can win another race soon with its good gate speed. Follow it. And best driver of the night, same race, Justin Reynolds. Super patient on Letty's Reason. Just kept following the right helmet, then got to the outside, let the horse sprint home for the prize. Good drive. Everything unfolded how he hoped. So best driver of the night was Justin Reynolds on Letty's Reason.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winning. Hey, that's pretty good.
Winner.
That was legitness.
To that I say, all right, all right, all right.
Wow, winning.
Bam. Just like that. That's all there is to it, Justin. That's all there is to it. A winner.
Well, it wasn't Mr. T. He sent through his two for last week after the show was published. However, both lost, so he gets nothing. Minus 55 for him overall. Both mine won. $1.50, $1.30. So Little Fish are sweet for me. I'm minus $14 at this stage. Firstly, Mr. T, his two are both at Bathurst. No surprise. Race 4, number 9. Yes, you may. He's using the 5 claimer. The 5-point claimer, Jack Chappell, has been placed 3 of its last 4. Is going to need a bit of luck from inside of the second row, but if it gets it, Mr. T thinks it can be winning. So race 4, number 9, Yes You May, and race 5, number 9, Letty's Reason. Looking to make it 3 on the bounce after winning at Menangle on Saturday night in the Waratah final. Strike while the iron is hot. Another 5-point claimer with Jet Turnbull taking the drive. He likes those young drivers, Mr. T. Should take a lot of beating, and if it repeats what it did last night, it might just make it 3 in a row. So that is race 5, number 9, Letty's Reason. Speaking of Mr. T, I saw the A-Team was on Channel 7 on Saturday night in between races. I was catching up with how Mr. T was doing there. My two, Menangle Tuesday, race 8, number 6, Outside Fighter. Cam Hart mentioned last week that Grimmo's made a few adjustments with Outside Fighter, and it had helped him with his early speed. If he can get up on the pace against these horses, he should be able to outstay them. Hoof on the till in harder races, lacks real high speed, but can keep whacking away at the same speed. Grimo takes the drive. Race 8, number 6, Outside Fighter at Menengal on Tuesday. And Wagga, race 7, number 2, Carbonier for Dennis Day. Stable, in form, first up from a spell, trialling well, won its most recent trial. At its first trial, finished second, a long way behind one of Neil Day's that went to Victoria recently and won. So the trial form is strong, and I think Carbonier will take some beating. Race 7 at Wagga on Tuesday night, number 2, Carbonier. Fantasy update, Champo 71 stretches his lead a little bit more at the top, 16,549 points overall, 128 in front of Mays with 16,421. Manning 1990 still third, 16,315. My team didn't move, 76th back on 14,579. Gee, there's some good prizes. I was just having a look at some of the prizes. Cash first, second, third. And then 4th to 10th get themselves a night at the Eureka. So, and 1st, 2nd and 3rd get that as well. So should be a pretty exciting finish to the fantasy harness racing. Round 21 was taken out by Camvik with 858 points. Paddy B was 2nd with 826 and Champo 71 finished 3rd for the week with 821. What to do with Cam Hart this week? He's not driving early in the week. Do you take a punt and sell him and try and buy a few drivers who might win a few with only a month left in the competition? Robbie Morris, he looks the logical captain choice. Interesting week coming up in fantasy harness racing. Just about wraps up the show, though. Thank you to Jack Trainer and Seaton Grimer for joining me today. Now, next week, the Goulburn Carnival of Cups meeting is on the Sunday, so I might hang on to the podcast until after that meeting. So the Sunday session will be a late one next week, out in the evening rather than at lunchtime. If you're near Goulburn next Sunday, book your tickets. I was watching the AFL last night on the telly in between the A-team and the races, and the ad for the Carnival of Cups came up. Should get a good crowd, should be a good day of racing. Hoping the weather is kind. Weather's just started to turn here in Goulburn. It's getting a little bit chilly. Have a great week. Hopefully I can get over COVID, and I'll join you again next week.